As brands, we're constantly hearing about digital, with terms thrown around like algorithm, KPI, tech stack, retargeting, just to name a few. And during this pandemic, so many of us have been challenged to bring a digital-first mindset to our organizations. But what does digital-first even mean?
In this episode, we'll be exploring a digital-first mindset from the brand and retailer's perspective. But first, we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Barbara Garces, Chief Digital Officer at Citizen Watch America.
And I'm Regina Fidel, VP of Digital Marketing at Citizen Watch America. Thanks for listening to our episode today.
When does a digital-first approach apply? Well, what's right for your brand or store may be different than another. It all comes down to the consumer and how we can make it an easier, frictionless path to discovery and purchase.
Now, for some brands, this is a complete shift in mindset that caters to wholesale, to one that thinks about the end consumer. But that doesn't mean it's always about e-commerce. We need to create awareness and demand no matter where our products are sold. Using digital tactics is an effective and measurable way we can inform, engage, and build a relationship with our customers anywhere they're shopping.
Today in this episode, we're going to explore several topics around digital that can be applicable to your business: the digital mindset, digital marketing and execution, and finally, digital experiences.
When I think about what it means to be a digital-first organization, the two most important things are the abilities to be agile and data-driven. From the executive level to staff on the ground, the organizational culture needs to embrace, or at least have a high tolerance for, trying out new ideas.
What does this look like for a smaller brand or independent retailer, though?
It means keeping the communication open to all employees, using the workplace to experiment, to see what resonates, and to grow their internal knowledge of effective ways to reach consumers. You keep an ear to the ground and a finger on the pulse of what's happening outside.
Right. So digitally transforming your business means being flexible, open-minded to new ideas, and embracing new digital tactics. What types of communication and digital tools can help companies succeed at doing this?
Brands and retailers can leverage digital tools and cloud-based platforms to create greater transparency and workflow efficiencies. Collaborate using programs like OneDrive, Teams, SharePoint. Communicate with each other using apps like Slack, GChat, Teams, etc. Use appointment booking tools like Calendly and Acuity. Create online hubs of information or product knowledge using Google Docs or Google Sheets. For larger organizations, project planning and workflow tools like Basecamp, Smartsheet, Asana, Jira, and Monday may be critical to success. A data asset management platform and a product information system are helpful in keeping teams organized. So these types of digital tools help with internal process, communication, and agility. But how about reaching your consumers effectively? What does that look like?
Brands and retailers can use very similar tools for not just communicating with their consumers, but for gathering feedback and data from their consumers directly to understand what resonates. What are the products that are getting the most response and why? What are the services that provide the most value? What are the differentiators that are most unique to your brand or to your store? Direct feedback is the best way to understand and play to your strengths. Make it easy to solicit feedback from your consumers. Send short surveys to your CRM list with Google Survey, Medallia, SurveyMonkey, or Typeform. Embed a survey form into your website, or even in social, do a quick poll via Facebook or Insta Stories to get some quick feedback that also drives engagement. More than anything, the feedback and opinions gathering shows consumers that you're listening and that you care about their opinions.
So digital helps gather data, but then the question is, what do you do with that data?
That's right. So one critical piece is to use the data to deliver the right digital experiences at the right time to the right audience. Are we ready to share the secret formula to effectively marketing to the end consumer digitally?
Well, yes and no, because the truth is there is no secret formula. A roadmap for success can vary brand to brand and retailer to retailer. The most important thing is to be trying different things and different tactics. When we talk about digital marketing, we cover a lot of areas or disciplines. Today, we're going to cover the customer journey and how that affects consumer targeting and our overall content strategy. How we deploy our resources in media are different now, due not only to the pandemic, but overall trends and shifting consumer behavior. Because the nature of marketing and media has become so multifaceted, a digital content strategy becomes critical to success. This means we need to create content that's appropriate to each platform, channel, and our brand goals. To do this,
we should understand what the customer's journey looks like. First, we need to create brand awareness to a larger audience. You can cast a wider net to find new customers. The creative goals here are really to introduce your brand in order to potentially acquire new customers. This could take the form of video or other introductory type of imagery and text that gives a great first impression. An awareness-driven digital campaign could run across a variety of channels, including YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, directly with sites, and through programmatic display advertising.
Now, once we've captured someone's attention, we're ready to move them further down the funnel, closer to purchase. To do this, we need to engage with them. An engagement can be any tangible action that a user takes with your brand. It could be a like or comment on Instagram. It may be someone who watched a video in completion. If you have an e-commerce site, it will be critical to drive clicks through to your website.
This is where we create tailored messaging to multiple target audiences. You need to define who these audiences are upfront using existing customer insights and data, and use targeting tools available across various marketing platforms like email, paid social, and digital advertising. An example would be recently engaged women between the ages of 25 and 40 that live within 30 miles of your store, or past website visitors and purchasers. You can also create lookalike audiences on these platforms that mirror your current customer and deploy advertising against them, and use personalization where available. An example might include using the customer's name within emails or retargeting a user with relevant suggested products based on their purchase history. And you'll talk differently to someone who recently made a purchase versus someone who is still a prospect.
Great. So once you've defined who your target audiences are, you'll want specific storytelling or tailored messaging for each. A great example would be a segment of male shoppers who are gift-giving during Valentine's Day. You would want to ensure you're using language that evokes emotion and the need for a gift. We want our audiences to consider purchasing and researching our brand at this point. We aim to engage them on a deeper level, where they learn more about the brands we carry or our collections, the aspects that different target groups will care about. There are many different tactics we can use to do this, including social media, digital video ads, influencers, website, and email messaging.
Okay, now we've created engagement and interest around your brand across these various targets. Now that we have interested parties, we need to action on it. So now we're focused on pulling that interested shopper to the point of purchase. Whether that's an online conversion or an in-store purchase, there's a variety of ways we can use to turn an engaged shopper into a customer.
Using digital tactics, we can retarget site visitors, users who engage on social, email subscribers, and those searching for our products online to remind them of the brand, store, product, or with a unique offer to drive in-store or online purchases, such as a promotion with a gift with purchase. Since so many shoppers research online and buy in-store, it's also critical at this stage to have product-level content that educates and informs on our websites.
Okay, they've purchased. Are we done?
No. Unfortunately, as marketers, we have to keep at it. The loyalty part of the customer journey is critical to keep people as lifelong customers. As you know, one of the best foundations of any business is to have the repeat purchaser, one that has a great affinity for the brand and advocates on our behalf. So we keep up the communication and relationship here through aftercare, which could include product registration, encouraging leaving ratings and reviews, offering great customer service and repairs, following on social, and in some cases, offering incentives for loyalty.
Many of these tactics are done well offline by independent accounts already. The advantage to bringing them in digitally is the ability to connect the dots, to track their success, and most of all, make things seamless for the customers themselves.
The reason it's important to understand this customer journey is also for creative implications. We can't start with a single-page print ad and try to adapt it as a one-size-fits-all across the board. You can see that there's a lot of various content that's needed to get the job done. As such, brands need to shift from static advertising to brand storytelling, which can be translated more fluidly across these channels.
That sounds like a lot of work for smaller brands or independent retailers. How can a smaller staff with limited resources possibly take on digital marketing?
That's a good question. And I think it depends on what your goals and priorities are. And just remember to take everything in stages. Perhaps the retailer or brand could employ a local digital marketing company that has similarly sized clients and will know how to best drive results. Or maybe you found a channel, like Facebook, that really works for your customers, and you have someone on staff that can dedicate time to posting and managing the advertising there.
Another tip is to stay focused on your goals. During the awareness phase, you're trying to reach as many people as possible. You're not trying to drive return on investment here. During engagement, you're looking at likes, comments, clicks, looking to find how many people are truly interested in the brand and shopping with you. When you reach the conversion phase, that's when we're looking at return on ad spend. And with loyalty, it's about increasing the customer lifetime value. Especially at the price points that many of us have, it's critical to take this multi-phase approach to introduce, engage, and ultimately convert the consumer.
Speaking about converting the customer, that's not just happening in store or on a website anymore, right?
That's right. We've been watching the rise of social commerce, with social media platforms making it easier to connect brands and retailers with consumers, but also to allow them to transact seamlessly as part of the overall social experience. But with the global pandemic, it's forced us to try new things to connect with consumers. And a big success story has been virtual appointments.
Yeah, virtual appointment services have been popping up quickly by brands and retailers, big and small, and across different categories. The beauty about virtual appointments is that when done well, it can simulate the in-store experience with a one-on-one, face-to-face, live video chat. And with many consumers working from home, there has been a greater level of comfort and a higher rate of adoption of these types of virtual appointments and human-to-human interaction that's enabled by digital technology.
That's right. So what we suggest here is to keep things as easy as possible for your consumers. Use one of the scheduling tools we mentioned earlier, like Calendly, Acuity, or Google Scheduler, to allow customers to pick a time based on the slots you make available. These tools can automatically send reminders or allow for reschedules or cancellations in just one quick tap or click. Be sure to embed an easy form into your scheduler to ask a few questions that will allow you to prep for the appointment. What is the customer looking for? Do they have a material, size, or color preference? Do they have budget parameters? Are they shopping for themselves or someone else? Do they have something specific in mind or no real clue as to what they're looking for? All of this information will help you curate a selection of items prior to the appointment. Next, you'll want to get camera ready.
Yes, make sure your audio and microphone are working and that the camera is accessible and focused directly forward. Adjust the lighting to allow for the greatest amount of clarity if you plan to show product. Practice with various angles to most effectively show these products in the camera's viewfinder and use light to your best advantage. Try to have a logo or other branding element in the background to add some polish and professionalism to the appointment. And during the appointment, speak naturally, clearly, and smile often.
Once the appointment has finished, if the customer hasn't purchased then and there, send a follow-up email. Include a quick summary of what you've heard, including what the customer was most interested in. Send product photos, product information, and/or web links, along with your direct contact information so that the customer has all the information needed to make that purchase when he or she is ready.
Finally, don't forget to send a post-appointment survey. You'll want to know how to continuously improve the appointments and how they're conducted, and how to best make the sale and make that customer happy.
So the great thing about having virtual appointments set up is that you can transition that into other virtual experiences, like virtual workshops, where you seek to educate your audience or your consumers about a specific item or a specific collection materials and keep them engaged. You can do that through Facebook Live or through Instagram Live. All of these things will keep your connection to the consumer and that engagement with them real and convert eventually to a sale. So we've covered quite a bit during this podcast, haven't we, Regina? Should we do a quick recap for our listeners?
That's a great idea, Barbara. First, we spoke about the digital-first mindset and how that should align with a customer-first approach. The goal is to be agile and data-driven, and we outlined some tools that anyone could use to stay connected and to gather that data. Then we got into digital marketing, outlining the customer journey and concrete tactics you can use at each stage. Don't forget about segmenting your audience into specific targets and tailoring the message for each.
And then we spoke about practical ways that you can implement digital marketing, whether your business is large or small, and how you can measure the results of your efforts. Last, we outlined how you can create best-in-class digital shopping experiences through virtual appointments and virtual workshops. We hope you enjoy today's podcast and can walk away with some ideas of how to create a more digital and consumer-focused approach to your business and marketing.
Thank you for tuning in. Good luck to you on your digital-first journey.